Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to another exciting episode of the Concierge Coaches Show here on LA Talk Radio. I'm Bruce Cameron, along with Justin Nimmergood.
Hello, everyone. Happy Monday and happy November now.
It is. It marks the first weekend of November. They had their NASCAR race this weekend here in Texas, and it's kind of the staple of the first part of November is that the second to last NASCAR race.
There you go.
So they
for all you NASCAR fans,
all you NASCAR for all the fans NASCAR. It's coming to a close, folks.
Vroom, vroom.
There you go.
I remember when they first opened the Texas Motor Speedway, and the traffic was just insane. Is it still just as bad, you know, many, many years later?
And what a venue TMS is.
Yeah. I was just saying that I remember when they first opened it, you know, however many, gosh, like
you were,
15.
How old were you in 90, 96, 97?
Oh, 96, gosh. 97, 10?
You were single digits. Yeah. Okay. Barely.
Probably 9 years old.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Single digits, Justin. Justin is adolescence.
Unbelievable. Yeah, I'd moved to far South Keller, you might say, in 1994, and was in the stretches of my federal career there, my second to last position. I was at a women's penitentiary, man, like Orange is the New Black. I opened up the women's federal prison in 94.
Ooh.
At Carswell Base, yeah.
Carswell Bay, where is that?
It's right there off of 820 in Quebec. You know where Lockheed is? Fort Worth, yeah. West Fort Worth.
Okay. There you go, West Fort Worth.
West Fort Worth, man. I was one of the pioneers of 820 West. It was a two-lane freeway. But anyway...
Well, it's still pretty congested over there, you know, just the mix master that they have going on, but
yeah, it is pretty congested. So, well,
another exciting episode today. Well, first let's start with you today, Bruce. You had a trip last week, right?
Yeah, had a trip, and, and I want to, very, very interesting. This was more of a consulting trip. Okay. I don't want to give away the client, but it was we'll call it a security company. Okay. That, okay. Part of my assignment was to look at staff and staff morale. Okay.
Okay.
And I was sent from the corporate headquarters to do this assignment, to walk around and talk to staff and look at staff morale and or B, look for particularly distressed staff that might have, you know, depression or post-traumatic stress disorder like symptoms. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And so I get there and it comes together fairly quickly because another person in another rival company was shot to death the week before. And this a rival company. Yeah. So this is a rival company in the same industry. And that murder had resonated throughout their staff. Some of the people that had been in this line of work actually knew the individual who was shot to death. And it was kind of, you know, it's a sobering thing, even in a paramilitary type of situation, right? It's kind of it's like a fallen brother or whatever. Anyhow, so that was the impetus behind the visit, and there were just a lot of different agendas going on concurrent, right? So there had been a recent death in the industry. Of course, there were morale problems. The site director of this place was definitely, definitely some issues with that individual. You know, I knew, but that wasn't my assignment per se. Right.
Right.
And so the first day, there were obviously the site leadership, but there were some of the more regional leadership that are housed in this particular branch of this company. Right. So when I first got there, people were kind of scared. I came in there the same suit I wore to Beverly Hills, but with a white shirt. You know, I came in there swinging, you know, with the black suit and the white shirt and the, you know,
federal garb.
Yeah, I came in there swinging. Hair was fixed, cut. And so it was really interesting to kind of see how people size me up. Well, who are you? Well, you know, I'm a contractor. You look like you're with the company. I don't work for the company, but I was sent by the company, you know, to talk to people. So I have the freedom.
But isn't that good if they say, you know, you look like you work for the company? That's good. Yeah, that means you're blending in
a way. Yeah, for sure. You're right. But you have to build trust quickly.
Yes.
Right. When you're doing a 360 of the company, you know, and you're trying to brand yourself as a professional, but yet somebody that you can talk to, you know, but I don't work for the company. I don't know your name. I'm not going to ask you your name. We're just kind of getting a feel for what, you know, what's going on, how everybody's doing. And I called it a climate survey. I was taking a branch climate survey.
Mm.
You like that?
Like a temperature.
Yeah, it's like almost a Justin Hemmergood.
Special.
And one of the guys went to your Pepperdine school there, had an MBA from your neck of the woods.
Oh, nice.
And he tried to downplay it. Oh, it's just a school by the beach. I'm like, oh, no, sir. That's big stuff. I was hot on that. Because of you, he got an extra, nod.
You're too kind.
Justin went to school. Anyway, walking around, talking to the different folks about what was going on, how it affected them, and then I kind of stumbled on to that they were getting a petition signed to have a union. Okay, because as you know, many mm-hmm. jobs here in Texas, right, it's a right to work type mm-hmm. of state. And while we do have union jobs here, places like Amazon and others don't have unions, right? It's straight up right to work. And so I'd kind of unintentionally drifted into that, you know, just by talking to people and where they were at and what their concerns were. So that was one of the concerns.
What was some of the most interesting, you know, stories or feedback that you received from them, you know, in that process?
Yeah, I know, right? That's a great question, and I hearken back to my prior life, you know, going into federal institutions, doing similar types of things on audits and whatever, you know, and asking people questions. And so some of the themes that came up were, of course, for some people, it was some of the safety concerns, faulty or older equipment that was having issues, which, depending on the equipment, could be a life, you know, safety issue, no doubt. Hourly wages, a lot of these are hourly wage employees, you know, and really up against the wall with where the hourly wage was and some of the raises. So that was another issue and concern. Another issue and concern were kind of, it's not the haves versus the have-nots, but it seemed like there were at least one or two cliques that were the cool kids that had influence on the overall or a majority of the operation of that place. I couldn't, you know, I wasn't there long enough to identify exactly, you know, individual types of people, but I did get that feel from the interviews, right?
Yeah.
And interesting.
Some of it's reading, you know, you have to read between the lines, because some of them, especially if you don't know them well, they might be giving you information because they're like, okay, we know we have to, because he's a consultant who's hired to do this, so we're going to check box item. But you really got to read between the lines in order to
Also, Justin, when you have the people in headquarters that want an outside view to tell the people in the headquarters what's going on, because even people in the middle or high middle might still distort the data, right? For their favor. And I won't do that. I'll give you the data kind of straight on, and you know, you guys might know what it means more than I might know what it means, only being there 48 hours, but certainly you'll have some great data points, right? To go in. And I think that's what they really appreciated. Another theme, you know, when I talked about cliques and haves and have nots, it wasn't necessarily color related. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink. I know for our listeners, you're not going to know what that means, but I'll say this: in some of the southern states, let's say, right, southern states, there's an ethnic component to things, okay? Yeah. And there may be certain ethnicities that represent an entire workforce, right? For a facility. It might be one, it might be two, it might be three. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, say no more. But interestingly, on that haves and have-nots thing and that click thing, it wasn't a straight color demarcation, you know?
Huh.
Yeah, which I think everybody above and the higher thought, okay, it's just going to be along color lines. Wink, wink. But it wasn't. And I really, you know, had one person from an ethnicity say no, blah blah blah, and another one like, holy cow, wow, that's interesting. So, then I reached back. I said, wait a minute, it's either then the other glue would be relational or blood relatives, and I did find that, right. There were some relationships going on, and there were some blood relatives that were across departments. Let's say you work for Valley. And I'm your uncle.
Yeah.
But, yeah. You know, why is Justin getting this good shift? I have no idea. I like that the kid went to Pepperdine. Hey, isn't he your nephew? Maybe. Anyway, so and I'm not saying, right, but that was some interesting, you know, markers, like, right, because I wouldn't give up. Like, well, if there's a grouping, the grouping has to have something that unites the grouping if it's not color. So sex or blood are my next two go-tos, you know.
Sex or blood. So what family, almost like what family tree they came from.
Yep. So that was interesting. And then
that is fascinating.
And then the second day I wanted to, you know, I was interviewing everybody. I went from the ground up, you know, if you will. I don't mean that in a bad way. You know what I mean? I just went from the line staff all the way up in rank. And so it was time for me to interview the site director, and I couldn't find him. He resigned before I could get to him.
Oh, shit.
And so, interestingly, I had... Then they packed his box. He got out of there. And then when the shift was done and people were able to get into public spaces, they were just falsely attributing to me the guy's departure. Ding dong, the witch is gone or whatever.
Like, oh, no, gosh.
No.
It was Bruce's doing.
Yeah, they're just wanting to put me on people's shoulders and throw confetti. I'm like, no, that's not why I'm here. Oh my God. Yes, it is. You're the angel of death. And I had all these little ladies from Central America companies call me the angel of Central American. Call me interesting names in Spanish. Like, I am not the angel of death. Stop it. But anyway. So yeah, man, that's just highlights of that in them. So it's a process consultation, right? That's what we'd call it. Doing a climate survey, right? In the coaching world, we talk about doing a 360 of a coaching client. Instead, we just do a 360 of what's going on in the building, right?
Yep. It's a culture view,
right? So I always, Justin, I have a little tiny spiral notebook that'll fit in my back pocket.
Yep. And it's almost like the one that the cops go around with.
Yes. And I you can get them at the dollar store still. And I have that little son of a gun, and I'm writing in it in between conversations, you know, or I'll walk to the restroom, or I'll walk, get a cup of coffee, and scribble, come right back out, you know, right back out onto the line, as it were. And talk to folks.
And, that's awesome.
So yeah, that,
sounds like a productive trip. So you're there. How many days,
two days
total?
Man. Two days.
So quick down and dirty. You know, get your hands dirty. You know, get in there, get your hands on as much data and data points as you can.
And there was actually one of these days we'll talk on the phone, but there was a crisis incident that happened. You know, somebody melted down. I got to use those skills with good reason. So, but I don't want to go too far into it. But yeah, but had to put on the psychology hat there. And but yeah.
Well, that's part of the value. Actually, it's funny you mentioned the crisis situation. Like, you know, I've reflected, you know, especially, you know, the last couple of weeks, like, what are some of the things that, clients, or other similar profile, you know, companies in the market are looking for right now or in need. And the reality is it's, you know, like anything, it's insurance. And the insurance kind of comes in different forms. And obviously, you know, everyone's familiar with auto insurance, life insurance, you know, business insurance. Well, it's just sort of like a different form of business insurance. I'm realizing, like, hey, you know, companies that have worked with me when there's a crisis situation, for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's all the training with Ralphie all those years growing up or what, I don't know.
Got it.
But it's like, okay, yeah, so this is what's going on, you know, and it's just real, almost like a calmness, you know?
Right. Yeah. And so, you know, actually, So this went well. Okay. So this process consultation went well. I had like working notes and
nice.
So what I did was, so I had my notepad. My notepad then went into a document that I typed in Word and I called it working notes. Okay. Now the stakeholder or the person that hired me, I've known this individual for quite a while, through various other capacities. You know, mm-hmm. This individual has utilized me in other prior positions. Okay. So I it's almost as if Justin, you had hired me
mm-hmm.
virtually almost if you just added a few more companies to you. So it's like you hired me. Okay. And so you can only imagine what the document would look like. It's like, and so I put, you know, Justin, these are my working notes. The language is somewhat colorful, but you know, it is what it is. If you need me to write this up in another fashion for CEO review or whatever, for C-suite review, let me know, you know, and I'll sanitize this, but here's the raw data points and the chronology. And I did the chronology. It's really important, right? Because I walk in there and there's this, and then right 1.3 mm-hmm. days later, the dude resigned. So I thought, you know, there's a lot happening on this timeline, and then the meltdown happened on the second day for this other individual. So I thought, you know what, I'm going to structure this not by, by whatever, you know, employee relations or mental health. I did this, the movie of Bruce. I walked in, I did this, and I saw this person, these people took a break, these people, you know, this meeting, this teleconference, these people, you know, and just did them a straight chronology in very, very plain English, you know, just like I wanted to write it like a movie. So you're just watching the movie of me there for 2 days. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and so they were pleased with the results and the data you got?
Yeah, and I'm not saying to everybody out there and our listeners, oh, this is how you do it, this is the Cameron method, and buy my new book, you know, whatever. No, I'm just telling you this is what I did just because I thought, yeah. So, yes, sir, yes, it did, you know, so they got it, they looked at it. Interestingly, I had negotiated my rate fully. I knew I was in a ballpark, but after I had done that, I did a follow-up call with the stakeholder hire. He said, you know, I love it. We had a huge closeout call. He said, look, go ahead and just bill me for this and this and this plus your incidentals, which I end up doing better, keeping it open-ended, right? Because I saw the level of work I put into it and saw the value, and I was able to parlay that into a little bit more than what I would have been willing to take on the engagement.
Mm-hmm. Wow. So just the process, which you claim, hey, I didn't have a, you know, you had a process, but you're being a little humble about it, right? Right.
A little, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And the close out call at the end, and, you know, hey, you know, they were happy with the results. Good to go.
Yeah.
Move forward. You know, did you find that your rate was on point or a little, you know, no, low or high?
No, it was on point. It was on point for that industry and what they've done relative to themselves. Obviously, right? If it was more than what I wanted, that knocks me out of any complaint. So, mm-hmm. Right. But yes, I mean, from what I understand in their industry and what he told me, and it make perfect sense to me, and I'm very content with it. And then, I'm going to Atlanta for another thing, but I might be going for this company as well. And on a half day tour on their Atlanta, on one of their Atlanta outlet offices. So that'll be good. And then the gentleman asked me about, oh, by the way, the other thing that happened the next day is that the union thing got dropped. So I have nothing to do with that either. So I decided not to try to go with the union, but I don't know if I got credit for that or not. But another thing this gentleman said is like, hey, let's do some other projects together and maybe let me show you how to do labor relations. Because it's not about knowing the labor laws. It is being able to relate to people, you know what I mean? And have the discussion. And I'm like, absolutely. And he told me what the value is on doing labor relation disputes. I mean, shoot, that's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 grand a day, you know?
Really?
Yeah, I know. I'm like you right now. My eyes were as big as saucers here. And what? Are you even kidding me? Like, he said, oh, yeah. You know, I mean, think about the money you save if it's a good resolution. You're saving the company and everybody hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars, you know, if you have a successful resolution. So I never thought of it like that, but you're right, you know. So, of course, bring you in there for 3 days to hammer out a master agreement or a bargaining agreement, you know, on a union type of issue. Where I worked, we had union, you know, correctional officers, right? We had like AFL-CIO, and I knew about master agreements and all this and that. And I was always fairly union, let's say informed. I shouldn't say savvy.
Right.
Because I was in a position that was half leadership, half line. So I never really drunk the union Kool-Aid, but I sure wasn't a union hater either. You know what I mean?
Right.
In the feds. So I wanted to be a friend to all people, management as well, because you really need your mental health person to be loyal on both sides of the, you know, the equation. So anyway,
mental health. I mean, it's a big deal. It's funny, you know, so I'm actually going to be helping out with an event, this Wednesday for a new client of mine. They have sort of a, consultative process that they've developed that's unique to them. Well, it's not totally unique to them. I mean, they've put their twist on it, which makes it unique. Developed under some of the great, you know, consultative tutors and leaders, you know, like the Dale Carnegie groups and whatnot of the world that have their own processes that they've developed. And he's a former Marine, and actually Marine One. So which means he's was a pilot for him. He was during the Clinton and Clinton and Obama administrations.
Fantastic.
And then two other pilots like him that are also Marine Ones, and gonna be hosting a little networking panel type of event, you know, for a couple hours. So it should be fun. And I know, you know, given the number of armed forces, veterans and active duty members that will be in the room, you know, PTSD, there's all kinds of mental health related challenges I know that are at the forefront of, you know, this group. Right. So just oftentimes depends on who you're working with, really. Right. But I'd say it's almost ubiquitous now, you know, even if they're, you know, whether they're armed forces or they're, you know, executive assistants, I'm sure you could almost point to every executive assistant, at least that's been working, you know, a couple of years out there, that's had their run in with someone that, you know, rubbed them the wrong way, a boss that talked to them wrong, or sexual harassment, or, I mean,
right.
We've talked about all this. I mean, that leads to some serious mental, you know, health issues for people.
Can. Hey, how about this recent departure of the CEO of McDonald's?
Yeah, long overdue.
Did you hear about that?
You know, I'm not, I heard about it, but I'm not, well, I haven't read the full article on it.
No, here, I'll give it to you in a nutshell. It's real easy. The CEO of McDonald's, right, resigned. And the reason in his resignation, he clearly states that he was involved in what he called a consensual relationship, sexual relationship with someone in the company. And that violates company policy. And he had to resign. And so he's going to get 6 months of salary, some sort of golden parachute, and he has to stay away from any fast food company for 2 years.
Wow.
It's part of the deal. Now, so since he is the CEO, I guess anybody else in the whole freaking company is beneath him, right? So I'm sure it wasn't somebody holding the fry basket at Unit 521. I hope not. I'm sure it was another executive of sorts and whatnot. But there it is, right? It comes out. And, right, that's a hostile work environment. If we look at the affirmative action law, that's preferential treatment. That could be a hostile work environment. There could be a thing for quid pro quo. We hear that a lot with other political things. But so once you have a relationship and that relationship is found out in the workplace and somebody is of higher stature than the other in the company, that's it. And so, you know, this CEO came on board McDonald's. Now, I'm familiar with this, by the way, because I was consulting. When I was consulting with Deloitte, I'd have to go to, you know, Chicago. Anyway, familiar. Anyway, so
I'm kind of familiar with McDonald's too. Actually, we have to compare notes on that. You know, my last consultative company, I ended up signing a deal for the McDonald's kiosk rollout.
Well, there you go. Mine was much less romantic, but anyhow, so this guy, the CEO, and I forget his name. He came into McDonald's, I believe, Justin, in 2015. And I believe also that the stock had doubled during his tenure. And now this guy's got to leave. Wow. And this guy's just sitting there holding the bag, who's the director of the Americas division, all of a sudden wakes up one morning and he's CEO. Like, I'm sure that dude is like, what? You know what I mean?
Like, what? Hello?
Yeah. And I am sure, you know, so think about the brand damage, and the stock went down. Their stock took a hit. As a matter of fact, we had a record, not a record, but a near record, right? Stock market day. And the damn McDonald's was the thing that was dragging down, you know, some of the downer stuff. It would have been a banner day for all of our S&P 500 friends and whatnot. But, so here you have it, right? I mean, holy smokes, a sexual relationship that cost, how much money, Justin, is that going to cost him, McDonald's as a brand, shareholders, recovery points, and then losing, if this guy really is a genius, which I think he must be, right? I mean,
has to be.
He has to be for the stock to double, for that stock to double of all stocks, right? It's like getting American stock to double. Are you kidding me? Like, are you kidding me? Like, who can get that to happen? So anyway, but this guy evidently, you know, really was that. So,
wow.
So, oh, I
well,
know.
Well, but he got bailed out by the golden parachute. So,
yeah,
he'll be all right.
Still, yeah, I mean, yeah. His salary was between 5 and 8 million a year. No, his highest salary was 21 million a year. Oh yeah, I dug into this one, man.
Just 21 million a year.
Yeah, it was his highest. And he, what he did was he structured his salary. His salary was a reflection of the company's performance. So when the stock doubled, so did his deal. Smart dude, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, not stupid. He's not so.
Wait a minute. He just got fired. What am I saying?
But, you know, there's always something behind it, too. I mean, it could have been a setup by board of directors. Hey, we're going to have you take a fall because we need to, you know, liquidate your salary or, you know.
Right. Salary cap, get rid of the
Yeah. Think about it. I mean, like, this shit happens all the time in sports.
And pro, yeah, like the pro player, like, okay, like,
I mean, I'm not saying the guy probably didn't do what he did or did, you know, what he didn't do, but I mean, you know, I just think there's more to it than that, right? Like, hey, he, you know, had a relationship and therefore is being departed. No, there's more to it than that. I think, hey, the board of directors was like, hey, you know, we need to cut some costs. And so this is how we're going to do it. And so the board has voted that we're going to exit and we're going to say it's, here's your list of options of what you say it's from.
I guess you must want, okay, this is my response to that. Look, could that have happened? Absolutely. But holy smokes, even still, the brand damage, the bad news release, the stock plummeting, you know what I mean? Man.
But okay, if your stock is going to plummet.
I mean, they'll come back. They'll recover. Don't get me wrong.
If your stock is going to plummet and your executives have already sold their shares.
Whoops.
And they want to buy back at a lower price point and then grow it again.
Yikes. It's an SEC issue, man.
I'm just saying. This is McDonald's, right? This is America's great brand.
Oh, yeah. No, man, it's McDonald's. Boy, that'd be something to take a look to see if anybody
had sold their shares.
Unloading shares yesterday or 3 days ago. Just, yeah. Yeah.
Take a look, see at that. I think that's a bigger.
And then see who buys in here. Yeah, today. Yeah. I think today will probably be its lowest point. It'll be on the mend probably tomorrow. But so anyway, gosh, savage. Yeah. That is a perspective.
But, I mean, it happens though, right? I mean, these companies, and I see it a lot, and everyone wants a quick fix. There's no quick fix. You know, that's why, you know, when I sign up for projects, it's like, hey, minimum of a year and a half, minimum. And if you're expecting results in 3 months or 6 months, then I'm sorry, but I'm not a good fit for you. And I'll just tell them that. I mean, coaching is a little different. I'm talking more on the consulting front. Coaching's like, hey, what's the specific, you know, goals you're looking to achieve in the next, you know, 6-12 months that we can usually work with. As an organization,
plus it's a better business
with more moving pieces.
Yeah.
Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was going to say it's a better business move for you to do the year and a half. Is that what you said? A year and a half?
Yeah. Yeah.
Because that's a good revenue commitment going to you. And obviously, that's plenty of a timeline to see, hopefully, plenty of a timeline to see results.
Exactly. And I think if it's like Daniel Pink said, you know, pay people enough so they're happy. You know, and they're satisfied, but they're still motivated. And there's actually a threshold at which that is. And I'd actually argue that other components such as loyalty, trust, being open, you know, are other things that are equally, if not more important than just pay, because those are the things that actually drive the whole engine, you know, of motivation. Right. Intrinsic motivation is a much better motivator than extrinsic motivation day in and day out.
That's right. Intrapreneurship.
That's right. That's right. So it's not just pay for a quick fix. It's, hey, you know, that's fine. I'll pay you what you're worth. But are you, you know, are we committed to one another for however long? And if that's the case, because again, to your process, to your plan. I'm sure you told, you know, your client in Houston, hey, I need 2 days to do what I need to do, right? And if you needed two weeks or if you needed 2 years, you know, whatever it is,
yeah,
it's a project. You set the timeline, you know,
right?
Where you go,
right? And I would have, you know, and I was down for three, but they, you know, but they wanted to do two. I mean, I think they had a cap that they were thinking on, you know, for a consultant, and that's fine. No, man, and I'll tell you what, that 2 days, I think my motivation would have been super high if it had been three as well. But you know what I mean? I was busting my ass to get as much done in those 2 days as I could, because I knew I just had 2 days, you know.
Yeah.
So that really, I mean, they got another version of the best of me, you know. And those some long days, man. I slept late, like 2 days later, just, you know, when you're, it, you, I know it's like, what do you mean? It's not work. You're just talking to people, but you're not, you're taking notes, you're dealing with issues, you're learning things, you're learning how the processes work. I really took the time to sit in on some other teleconferences and look at other spreadsheets and really kind of learn how some of their processes work. Should the event, I do future work with them, you know what I mean? So I made sure I read everything and that was, I could lay my hands on and, or see, you know, so that way.
Yeah. The pressure cooker is good in terms of getting a lot of done quickly, but to your point, stressful. When that happens, a little stressful, but yeah, also it's a mind, you know, your mind is not like a battery, but it does have that, you know, hey, right. You know, recharge, we hear the term like recharge or whatnot. Like, yeah, when you exhaust a lot of mental horsepower on, you know, these type of activities,
right.
Yeah, you need to charge back up again.
Yeah. 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 So yeah, it's, so that type of thing was good. And you know, I really think about, so what was that? What made that a successful consultation? You know, what, you know, so I kind of look back on it now, think, okay, what was it that I did that was useful, that had value, you know, to the company? And I think one was to extract data points that they wanted to know from as many different people as possible, right? To show a consensus and whatnot, and then be able to do that in a way that didn't alienate people, you know, that they told me, like, don't worry, you're not there for a popularity contest. You're there to get us, you know, the data. So don't worry right. about pissing anybody off. But I mean, you know, just me being a human being, boy or whatever, Texan at heart, I don't like to piss people off if I don't have to. I mean, obviously there's that point with me, but I'll go off on you. But I mean, you have to work a little bit to get there. But no, I mean, I was able to do that without rubbing anybody the wrong way. And so they, because then they call, wait, what'd you think of that guy? Like, yeah, he was really nice and stuff like that. One of the things I did was I made more coffee than I drank. They had this Folgers commercial grade thing there.
And, oh, yeah.
And the coffee pot would be empty. And so then I'd make more, had its own dedicated water line. I made sure I looked in the back and, okay. So, you know, I made it just
the little things. The little things, right?
Oh, man, it's a big thing for me. I didn't have Starbucks for 2 days, dude. I thought I was going to lose my mind. Honestly. Seriously. I was drinking that rock gut Folgers. It's fine. You know, with the powdered sugar and the powdered cream. Ugh. Woo! Man, ooh. I'm sure my fingers,
it's like, and testicles. It's like car oil, man.
I'm sure my testicles are going to fall off or something after all that artificial stuff. Hey, it's a family show here at the Concierge Ghosts. Anyway, they say that about saccharin, you know. And what was it? Sweet and low. I said, that's kind of a
sweet bad low,
thing.
Yeah.
It's a bad thing for the fellows. Anyway, so I drank that rock gut coffee, but it was fine. Got to do what you got to do. And I think we had Jimmy John's one day and something else another. But for lunch, they brought it in. So, and another thing that I thought was kind of bad, Justin, is that they're, everybody left their office door open and you could hear everybody's phone calls. You could hear what everybody was saying. You know what I mean? I couldn't even hear myself think. I had to share a room that was already being shared by other two people who were from regional corporate, you know, to kind of drop my backpack and, you know, my MacBook and my, you know, some, you know, my stuff, right? And I would ask him, like, how can you hear yourself think? You know, one guy is doing a conference call with the Apple Pods and just like, good God. So I don't know. I'm spoiled, but maybe that's how they do it at some of these sector jobs, you know?
Yeah, it's different than having your own space and your own.
And I said something like that, like, well, that's just the way it is. Boy, corporate wasn't hearing that.
Yeah.
They shot me down, man. No, that just comes with the territory, man. That's just the way it is. Like, okay, I'm spoiled. I was able to, I got what I needed. That's fine. No worries. Just saying. But anyway, yes, yeah, so just being able to talk to people and get the data points and not alienate people goes a long way. And,
absolutely.
And so it's something that, you know, moving forward that, you know, I would encourage you if you get a gig like that, man, to do it. Take it, you know.
Yeah. All the data points are important.
I know you would. I know you'd do it.
Yeah, yeah. I absolutely would.
Because I could see you doing what I was doing, you know, and then, and I hate to, I hate to say, but there were quite a few 21, 22, 23 year olds. You know what I mean? Nothing wrong with that. I can talk to them, but you know, sometimes when it's that younger person, you know,
yeah,
just goes a little bit easier. The dynamic is just a little bit easier.
I agree. And having the blend of the two is actually quite helpful too if you're dealing with multi-generation. And I have actually done several gigs like that in the past, and you know, in culture, you know, redefining culture, the brand of the company, the, you know. One notable one was with an organization in LA that ended up getting some funding. I'm proud of it, actually, because I did a project with them years ago that helped sort of rebuild their organization, or at least their prowess for the next, you know, 3 to 5 years. You know, 5 years later, heard back from them, and they're now working with the Gates Foundation.
Awesome.
You know, they're moving up in the world, which is good to hear.
Awesome.
You know, so I always love hearing stories like that. But yeah, to your point, yeah, I actually love, you know, that sort of work of, you know, data points and talking to the, you know, the people in the trenches and understand what's going on with the organization, making recommendations to the executives of, hey, this is what we found.
So the last thing I'll that I introduced to them is something that Walmart does with certain staff. And that is every staff member has some sort of a score. This is kind of savage, but, you know, on some of these kind of super secret jobs where you can't do anything that even looks like you're talking to a competitor or anybody, you know, that's competing. Let's just say, I don't know, I'll say Amazon versus eBay or Amazon versus Target. You know what I mean?
Right.
Okay. So maybe I should say that. So, and I'm sure they have a version of this as well. So, certain employees in certain sectors have a risk score, and they kind of reevaluate that based on performance, based on attendance, based on attitude. But then they also look at measures like, were there any suspicious outgoing, you know, suspicious outgoing emails or whatever.
Right.
Things coming out from IT or other computers being hooked up at their desk, and measuring if USB devices had been engaged on other ports, you know, some of the weird utilization of cloud data, those types of things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So each staff member has a risk score, and if they meet or exceed it, somebody kind of talks to them.
Huh.
Yeah. Hey, yeah, no, I'm not with the company, but it seems like da 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 is happening. I'm just here to check in and see what's going on. And then, yeah. And so, and that's a way to mitigate or head off some of the risk. So you can assign variables that your company thinks are, right? Variables that they'd want to know about with their staff. And so I thought of that immediately with this thing, with this type of industry, since there's elements of risk built into the daily, functioning of this particular industry, and that are risk equation, and they could look at different variables, and every employee has a scorecard for the month, you bring it up.
Fascinating. Yeah.
Is that savage or what?
Yeah. A report card. No, it's, I use actually some of those tools with my clients. I call them,
what do you call them?
I call them a grade report, partner, I call it a scorecard. Partner scorecard or client scorecard or whatnot. Yeah.
So, anyway, that's just another interesting thing. It doesn't have to be bad, it doesn't have to be all cloak and dagger. It could be other things. It could have good and bad variables on it. Right. And we have to do that as supervisors if we're evaluating staff. But anyway, well, gosh, that's it. Sorry about that.
That's, droned on today, no, man. Look at that. Like we just taught everyone out there how to, go into an organization, evaluate it, dissect it, re-swizzle it, and improve it in 2 days.
Yep.
At least from a culture perspective.
Yep. Beautifully said. All right, folks. Well, there it is. Another wonderful episode of Concierge Coaches Show. Be with us next week. I think we're going to have a special guest with us, and possibly the week after. And yeah, moving on. So we'll get back on the guest train. But always good to circle the wagons. See us on our social media, the Concierge Coaches, Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn. And folks, I can be at, I'm at the concierge coach.net. And Justin, how can folks reach you?
Ambergood.com, folks.
Alrighty then. Well, until next week, everybody, have a blessed week and a great week. And we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Take care, everybody.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.